The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
Yes, good morning everybody and welcome to the Sunday edition of Dead Set Legends. And dare I say it on this absolutely glorious Sunday morning. If you're not up and about, you should be, because it's a beautiful day out there. If you want to be a part of the program, give us a call, 133353. I was down the beach early this morning just having a bit of a wade, cold but beautiful, invigorating, and the dolphins swimming about as I welcome my sparring partner today between now and 12:30, a man, while I was waiting with the dolphins, he was swimming with the whales. Andrew Newton Jarman. Good morning, Jars.
G'day, George. G'day, Adelaide. You should have your own stand-up gig in the Fringe this year.
I should, shouldn't I? Yeah, I'm wasting my time here.
Good
really.
To be here, George. Yeah. Plenty to talk about.
Good last
Plenty
night.
Plenty to get through.
Good last night.
Yeah, they got the job done. There were some good signs. At times they were challenged.
Correct.
But they were calm under pressure.
Yep.
I thought Brody Smith was DOG, so yep. We're going to chat to Brody Smith just before 11 o'clock. Eddie Betts and Charlie Cameron had a day. It didn't really dominate.
Yeah, but they
maybe it was a smaller deck. I don't know, but they had poor games, I thought.
They were the positives, though. We had 11 goals.
And Jake Lever, is he worth $800,000 when I thought he struggled
Excuse
on
me,
one-on-one?
Excuse me, can I talk to you about the Eddie Betts business? We had 11 goal kickers last night.
And that's a good sign.
So,
Jakey Lever
on one... I was just about to say that.
Jakey Lever, listen, I thought struggled in a one-on-one contest. Is he worth $800,000? I thought he had a poor game yesterday.
Well, he's entitled to have a poor game.
Yeah, I understand that.
He's worth $800,000.
You reckon he is?
My word, he is. I'd pay $800,000.
But anyway... Two home finals, top two spot. It's looking really good. And Port Adelaide, well, what are they playing for today?
Well, now, that's a very, very good question, Andrew Newton, Jarman, because from 2 points, they've got to show that last week's diabolical performance was a hiccup.
Yep.
And so far as their finals are concerned, today at home, glorious conditions against Collingwood, they've got to smack them. And I mean smack them.
All right.
That's what they've got
Who's
to do
on the
today.
Show? Come on.
Well, we've got Matty next to talk about that, one of the assistant coaches of
Good man,
whatever.
Matty. Yep.
And Buddha Hocking from South Adelaide.
The Panthers.
Woo-hoo. They spanked the Eagles.
Didn't they?
They've only lost, the two games before yesterday for the season. So Buddha Hocking will join us on the program. Look, it's a big show. You can be a part of it. Give us a call. Beautiful day. Plenty of things happening.
Good man.
We're revved up,
ready
to go. Here we go, boys and girls.
In a tick, KG's got to ask the family a question that left Andrew Newton Jarman's.
Where did that come from?
I believe he told you where to go too, Cage, when you said this before we got into the studio.
And last night, the Crows got over the line against, a very hard at it Essendon Football Club. Let's welcome to the program Jars, the man who starred for Adelaide last night. A cracking game played by this young man, Brody Smith. Brody, thanks for your time.
No worries, boys. How are you going?
Good, thank you, Brody. Brody, congratulations. Good win last night. You were challenged a couple of times by the Bombers, but to the side's credit, they withheld that and then still found a way to win the game.
Yeah, it was good. I guess it was a bit of a game of momentum. We had it at times and they had it at times, but lucky for us, we were able to have it a bit more and capitalise and get a few goals in a row. So, it was good that when they got the momentum, we were able to stop it pretty quickly and not let them get out of hand and get right back in the game.
Bro, so I love the Crows' weapon from transition, defensive 50 to forward 50. Yeah, ball movement, fast footy, the ball's moving slick, and the boys' touch with hand and foot is very, very good at the moment.
Yeah, it was good. I guess Etihad suits that sort of play. They're pretty good at it as well. So we were chasing them a fair bit as well. But, our transition last night was really good from the back line, and guys like Rory Atkins on the wing getting involved as well makes it a lot easier.
Gee whiz, Brady, looking at the goal-kicking list, 11 players contributed to the goals last night, not including Eddie Betts. Now, I'm not having a go at Eddie, but that's surely a positive sign where we spread the wealth, so to speak.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's something we've been able to do a lot this year, and I guess that defensive play comes into it where we press up high on the ground and able to get in goal-kicking range and... to kick a big score like that and a bloke like Eddie Betts not getting the scoreboard is pretty impressive.
Yeah, my word it is.
Brode, the ultimate test will be Friday night, maybe a grand final preview next Friday night. So if you're Dom Pike, do you rest a couple of your sore players or do you go all out and just maybe have something up your
Get into him, Brody.
Up your sleeve there, Brode. What would you do, Brode?
No, I'm playing the best 22 if I'm the coach, and I'm pretty sure that's what he's keen to do.
Beautiful.
We don't want to mess around with form at all, and obviously we feel like we owe Sydney one a bit from the final last year, and they touched us up, so we're pretty keen to have a crack on this Friday night, and we want the best team out there.
Yeah, good on you, buddy. Good answer. Yep. Hey, buddy, I must say, the more I see of this young boy, Keith, the more he impresses me. I thought his game last night was terrific.
Yeah, he's a star, isn't he? We're pretty biased down there, us backs. We get around each other. Every game he's just got better and better. And to play on a bloke like Danaher, who's in some ripping form and do a really good job, is a good credit to Keithy. And he's come to the side, played his role, which is all we asked for him. And then he got some ball last night as well, which is really impressive from the big fella.
Gee, Brody, what about Sloaney and Tex? They got banged up a bit last night. Will they be okay?
Yeah, they're a bit sore. It's too early to say at this stage. Obviously, we're still at the airport, so we'll get back and do recovery. They'll get assessed early in the week by the doc, and then being a six-day break, it'll probably be one of those late calls on those two guys, and might have to wait till maybe Wednesday or Thursday. But speaking to them this morning, they both said they feel pretty good and pulled up better than they expected, so fingers crossed they'll be sweet to go.
Brode Gordy, your dad, is he swagging around Melbourne? Was he overnight, the casinos and taking the entourage with him? How was he?
Yeah, he was good old Gordo. He was in the change rooms and everyone was behind the rope area where they should be, and he was just roaming around doing his own thing. So
he thinks he's BT.
There's no rules for Gordo. There's no rules for him.
Good on him. Good luck to him. Hey, Brody, without going over the top.
Oh, no, Brodes.
Without getting ahead of ourselves.
Listen to this, Brodes.
Mate, we've set our season up so magnificently. Golden Chance, two home finals at Adelaide Oval. Mate, this has to be our year.
And if it's not, tell him the truth.
Well, if it's not...
You've said it's a failure.
It's a failure. It is. We've put ourselves in such a wonderful spot. If we don't get the ultimate prize, it's a failure.
Yeah, well, we've given ourselves every chance, haven't we? So, obviously, that's an exciting thing to look forward to, but I'm going to have to give the old cliche, and we're just looking at Sydney this week because...
Lucky you're not on the rush hour.
There's a good chance we're going to play them later on again in the year. Yeah. So we really got to put up to them this Friday.
Well done, Brody. Good luck Friday night.
Well played,
good luck
mate.
For the run home. Good luck for the finals. And good luck for the grand final, Brody. All the best.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me.
Brody Smith.
He's in good form.
He's in great form.
He's elite.
I love it when he goes... Gets the old knacker, takes off and kicks those long goals he kicks. I love
it. He reminds me a bit like a Simon Goodwin, but a right footer.
Oh,
that type of player.
Yeah, I think
he's a better player than Simon Goodwin?
I reckon he is.
Brody Smith?
Yeah, I do. Mm. Yeah, I love watching him play. He's a ripping bloke too. But most of the Crows are good guys.
What's up next, buddy?
What's up next? We've got a big show. This is very serious. This is very, very serious. I want to ask the Triple M family a very, very important question.
KG, last week I mentioned that the Southern Football League, the association's in crisis.
Yep.
And I'm getting more and more intel as the
You're
days
joking.
Go by. And it's not looking good for that very proud once association where clubs are looking to go into other associations. But last week we had a couple of callers regarding the junior programs, which is some people are saying is shrinking in South Australia. This is some of the calls we had last week, concerns about junior footy.
That is unbelievable.
The kids aren't playing footy.
Well,
that's the guts of it.
Can we this morning asked the families out there, why aren't your kids playing Australian rules football? Because that is so disturbing. That's the most disturbing aspect where they're giving away free membership,
correct,
doing all this, but still not getting...
Can't field 18 players.
This is our COVID.
The stronger clubs
about.
Are going well in South Australia. Some of the stronger amateur clubs are doing very well because they got the population and the growth in their area. But there's a lot of clubs...
Too many by the sound of
struggling
things.
So I know for the amateur league are looking at maybe capping every grade next year. Every club just has... One team in each grade, which I think is I think that will work, and that's some good common sense there. But they've still got to get signed off. But it's a concern that
the
kiddies today, you go drive around and I see hundreds and hundreds of kids in playing soccer, schools being used as soccer grounds now, and not that we don't have footy ovals left in primary schools and high schools these days.
Driving home this afternoon, I'll drive past Adelaide High School and the parklands there.
How many kids will you see?
Oh, hundreds playing soccer. Mm. Absolutely. But I want to ask the Triple M families here, why aren't your kids playing Australian rules football? Mm. It's the greatest
game
in the world.
And if clubs are offering free memberships for your kid to play footy,
an incentive,
surely you take it up.
Give us a call.
Let's go to Mick of Findon. G'day, Mick. Mick.
Where's he gone?
It looks like he's gone.
G'day, Mick. He gone, Hayday?
No, he's gone.
He's gone, brother.
Oh, there he goes.
Mick.
Hello?
Yeah, Mick.
Yeah, I am, yep.
Smooth.
Yeah, what's your point, Mick?
Oh, look, boys, I reckon the reason why is because there's so many different opportunities, there's so many different sports now that the kids are available to, that, you know, put in as well that sometimes the way that our game is promoted as being dangerous, you know, a lot of head knocks and this and that and the other.
This is a
worry. Parents tend to want to look at another option to keep their kids, I suppose, safe.
Yeah.
And that's why I reckon that kids are moving away from more the contact sports and into sports that perhaps aren't so contact.
Yeah, good point, Mick. I reckon Mick's got to a degree a valid point there, Jars, and it's a real concern, this.
Because the AFL will come out and say that Auskick numbers are through the roof, TV viewing through the roof, record memberships for the elite program, but we're addressing the grassroots.
Correct.
The nuts and bolts
and
of our great
starts.
Game. That's where, absolutely where it starts.
Exactly.
Which has been neglected for the last 15, 20 years.
Well, this is so disturbing.
Money is killing clubs. Players that are asking for big money to play at local are killing their club.
Mm.
So clubs now have to look at different ways.
Pull their horns in.
Ash of Manopara. G'day, Ash.
G'day, mate. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so my cousin, he's at primary school, and they go to play footy on the oval at recess and lunch, and there's like a push or a shove or a tackle, and they're getting in trouble.
Oh, no.
So at the school level, they're getting in trouble for playing Aussie rules the way they're watching it on TV.
I tell you.
See, they won't let them have a kick
at lunch or recess. I don't want to be negative.
Thanks, Ash. We've got to keep moving. Michelle of Burton. G'day, Michelle.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Michelle.
That's good. My kids play footy now, and my son plays under nine.
Yep.
And, you know, they play 15 a side at the moment. Next season, they're dropping it to 12 a side with no tackling, no nothing. These kids are now missing out.
Michelle, what club does he play for?
Salisbury North.
Oh, don't tell me they're going to go 9 at 12 a side for under nines, are they?
Yeah, and then you have to be 8 years of age to play. My son will miss out. He's played two seasons now. He will now miss out because he won't be eight. But they're capping them at 9 a side for under eights next season.
Oh, God.
I started when I was 6 years old. I was tackling when I was 6 years old. I was getting hit when I was 6 years old. I think I turned out all right.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Good point, Michelle.
PC police are killing us, Michelle. Hang in there. Ollie of Engle Farm. G'day, Ollie.
How you going, mate?
Good, Ollie.
Yeah, I think, what do you reckon? Do you reckon it could be technology? Maybe they're too hooked on their iPads and their iPhones, and do you think that could be an issue?
Yeah, social media, technology, but
that should affect soccer as well.
But KG, a lot of kids aren't as active as when we were.
Oh,
you know, there's so many things to do.
I was in the generation before all that, and I was just love sport, but maybe the parents need to push them a little bit more.
Well,
not sure.
My other concern are parents not allowing or not encouraging their kids to play Aussie rules football because of what we're seeing with the concussion, with the injuries, and that to me is my big concern that they're enticing their youngsters to play in a less contact sport than Aussie rules, and that's
what our game's about. Well, it's a gladiator sport.
I understand that, and I love every minute of it. But I just wonder whether the parents' attitude of this modern day, if I can use that term, have changed. Whether they're saying no.
What else do you think's changed in the landscape? Parenting.
Oh, parenting.
Single parents.
Well, that's another issue, and I say this very respectfully.
Yep.
We're seeing, sadly, and this kills me, split families where the kids go with mum and mum as a caring mother, and which they have every right to do, will probably entice their kids to go to a less contact sport than Aussie rules. Jars, times, you know, this is sad because times are so, so tough. Mm. The families out there that, that you and I know about that have split, it's so sad.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know.
So, and that'd be partly why we're not seeing.
I
under nines, they've gone from 15 aside next
down
year,
to 12.
12 aside, no tackling.
Yeah. What's the game about?
Something's got to happen. Something's got to change.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's unbelievable. Good on you, Ollie. Thank you for your call. Gee, that's a hot potato, that one. That's a real concern.
George, got me thinking. Michelle, who rang regarding why the kids aren't playing football these days, right?
Yeah, it's only a caller,
So her son plays under nines at Salisbury North. Now, she's been told he plays 15-a-side, then he's going to go to 12-a-side next year, no tackling. No tackling. Our game is a gladiator sport, a contact sport, correct?
It's not a gladiator sport.
It's a contact sport,
correct.
George. The game's been over-officiated. Would you agree?
Certainly. Most definitely.
During the week, a couple of greats, ex-greats of our great game, said this on Talking Footy. Mate, it's becoming soft.
Oh,
it is.
Don't you?
No.
Don't you dare.
I'm serious.
I hate that.
Today's game is becoming soft.
I hate that terminology. You only have to go to a game which you and I go most weeks and hear the clash of bodies. You cannot say, and I will totally disagree with the fact that AFL football and football
rule
are
changes.
Soft.
The bump's gone. Tackling's confused everyone. It's not a body contact sport anymore. Where's the good old scrap?
Well,
where's it all gone?
It had to change from what.
Jeez, we've cleaned it right up.
Well, we had to do
something. Now they're talking about taking the tackling out, which is a great technique.
That is ridiculous.
Michelle's our little 9-year-old son, not allowed to tackle. Where do you learn to tackle? At grassroots footy, George.
Exactly. You see, people on that panel who have played football. That's irresponsible. That is totally and utterly.
They're concerned like I am.
Concerned. What are they concerned about?
How did Brody Grundy get 2 weeks for that tackle?
Well,
it was a bloody good tackle.
Well, that's my point.
He gets rubbed out, not of because of the act, but because of the result. But that's wrong.
But they should not be even talking about taking the tackle out of our game.
Well, we've taken out of junior football. Now we're getting parents and coaches ringing up saying, oh, kids got to wear helmets.
So you're saying to me that
next we might as well put padding on all our kiddies running around. Let's pad them up like gridiron players.
You see, you're going over the top.
That's why our game is so unique, and it's concerning me where this is going, the great game we play, KG, is changing like by the minute, you're not seeing it.
Well, you should apologise for saying that AFL football and footballers are soft.
I didn't say that. No, don't put words. I said the game's becoming soft.
Well, that's the
right across the board.
That's the point I'm just making.
Across the board.
You should apologise for something
like
that. That is a ridiculous comment.
Because we've got ex-players, they're going to take the tackle out. Let's take the tackle out because players today are too frightened to tackle.
That's not going to happen. Like in your day, you used to go around punching blokes.
Oh, don't you, Dick. Oh.
You used to punch him.
No, I did not.
You used to.
Absolute
you
lies.
You used to punch him in the stomach.
Who said that?
I did.
Did I get reported?
Well, you should have.
I wasn't dirty.
You did it on the sly.
I played hard. I was taught to play hard at the ball and at the body.
Throw it up into the Triple M family.
Oh, of course
you will. See your side there on. Do you agree with Jars that our game is becoming.
It's over-officiated. Can't bump anymore. You can't tackle. We've cleaned up the king hits. We've cleaned up the dirty punches behind the plate. We've done it well. Absolutely. And that had to be done, KG.
I agree totally. Okay. You agree with Jars? Is the game becoming too soft? God, I never thought I'd hear the day I'd say that. Is the game of AFL football becoming.
Under nines can't even tackle now.
Too soft.
What a joke. 1-333-53.
Give us a call, folks. Give us your thoughts.
Let us know on Twitter at Triple M Adelaide.
You used to punch him too. I saw you.
Jeez.
No, he's got the socks.
No, I haven't got. No, I've put my dukes in my pocket.
And I'm finding it hard to repeat this topic. Jars has raised the issue: is the game of AFL football becoming
not just AFL?
Well, football,
the whole
Australian football,
Australian rules football, right across the board,
becoming too soft.
I'm not saying any players. because I applaud him and I respect every player that plays. Grassroots to the elite standard. But when you hear past greats talk about we maybe have to look at taking the tackling out.
That's
because,
a joke.
Because we're confused about the ruling of the tackle.
That's irresponsible.
Right, KG.
Absolutely.
We're over-officiating the game because they want to make it safe and sound for young players. We've got mums ringing up saying that they're under little Freddie, under nines and under tens, under eights, can't tackle. There's no tackling in junior football where you and I started, and I hate going back in yesteryear, but that was when footy was great. That was when you could go out there and play good, hard, tough footy.
One of the first things you were taught, how to tackle.
Well, exactly right. It's a skill in itself. Mark of Seaford. G'day, mate.
Good morning. How are you, fellas?
Good, Mark.
Hey, listen, I'm absolutely disgusted with this whole tackling issue. All right, the Dangerfield and Grundy results were an absolute disgrace, okay?
Yeah.
What we're seeing now is blokes who are contesting the ball fairly with no malice, right, being rubbed out for an end result where somebody gets hurt.
So are you saying it's becoming too soft?
Yes. What's next? If two teammates are competing for the ball and they bang heads and knock each other out, are they both going to get rubbed out as well?
That's a good point, Mark. You're right.
That's a very good
You're spot on.
That's a very good point.
You're spot on.
It's an outstanding good
it's
point.
It's a contested game.
Hader, you got a prize there for Mark.
I give the prizes out on this show.
I'm just taking control. Hader. You're becoming too soft.
Mate, we're going to send you to A Fistful of Rock featuring Hoodoo Gurus, you and I, and Jebediah. It's going to be at the Thebe August 25. Get your tickets at ticketmaster.com.au.
Good on you, Mark. Thank you for your call.
Caitlin of Strathalbyn. G'day, Caitlin.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Yeah, I really think it is, unfortunately, becoming soft. And I think it's coming from an umpire level for someone that's grown up and watched football and been involved. I've played football for 5 years now, and we're having umpires telling us, oh, we'll just move it out of the mud here a little bit. It's a bit too muddy. And if we give a bit of a bump for a good shepherd, the other team player's getting a 50, and it's just ridiculous.
Caitlin's right. You know, it's
been over officiated. Yeah, no question about that.
But that's not the umpire's fault, though.
No, that's the people rules
committee. It's coming from above umpires.
Caitlin, spot on. It's becoming.
What's that doing though? It's perceiving the girls. Like if someone gets a little bump or anything now, girls are starting to think, oh, I get a free for this, and they're jumping up and down about it. And it's because it's almost like the way we're getting taught.
Yeah, good point, Caitlin. Good point.
David of Parafield Gardens. Dave.
Yes. Sorry, Cage. I agree with the Jars there. It's not the players that are getting soft. They're still as hard and tough as ever. It's the administrators that are making the game soft.
Yeah, David's spot on here.
But Dave, why? Why do they want to change it so much?
Look, who knows? I mean, I know they're going to be seen to be doing something about the concussion, but it's part of the game. There is head crashes in the game.
Yep.
What happens when someone goes up for a... Someone takes the mark of the year by kneeing someone in the back of the head, but he gets concussed and he gets rubbed out for it.
Yeah, damn good point. Yeah, it's not the players. It's the way the umpires have been instructed to officiate and the rules committee. It's becoming an absolute joke. That part I do agree with you.
Good on you, Dave. Have a good day. Gee, Sue of Henley Beach. G'day, Sue.
Oh, hi, guys. Look, I agree entirely with what that chap before me said. The game is still a hard game, but there have been too many bloody rule changes. And with the umpiring, I'm just disgusted. You have those umpires out there and they're all giving different decisions in the same game. Mm. Yep. Something's got to be done about it.
No,
they're not in sync, are they, sometimes, umpire?
No, they're not. And you had Damien Harbeck come out last night publicly, and he'll probably get into trouble for saying the crowd has an effect on the decision.
Home crowd. Umpires. That doesn't happen, does it, George? Might be a bit naive.
Yeah, I watched the game yesterday, and they got a fairly good trot, the old cats.
Good on you, Sue. Gleeso. The great man from the Screaming Jets. We love you, Gleeso. Come on, mate. Gleeso. Talk to us.
G'day, boys. Long time listener, long caller. I actually grew up in rugby league land. I'm a New South Welshman.
Yep.
And it is imperative to teach young people, young kids, how to tackle correctly and how to be tackled correctly for them to then go on and be able to play the game in a safe manner as they get older. To take the tackling out and then bring it in at some later stage is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's putting kids, you know, their necks. I suffered a bad neck injury. and it was because of a tackle that I didn't do correctly. And if you don't learn at a young age, how the hell do they expect them to be able to tackle properly and be able to take the tackle properly? It's just a ridiculous, ridiculous road to go down.
Unbelievable.
Love you, mate. You are spot on. Gleeso, kids, who taught you the technique of tackling at what age when you started rugby?
Under sixes. I was 6 years old when I started playing rugby league. And, we were tackling from that time on. There was no being shepherded around by, mothers and fathers telling you, don't touch my son, like that. It was just kids out there, rough and tumble. But you were learning technique that you carried through your whole career with you.
Spot on, mate. Oh, spot on, Gleeso.
Where's the Screaming Jets playing next?
Mate, I've got 6 weeks off. I'll be watching every game.
We're going to miss you, Gleeso. No. Screaming Jets, love them.
Take care, mate.
Good on you, Gleeso.
Cheers, boys.
Hey, good bloke.
Hey, great man.
Great man.
He's Gleeso. Not a New South Welshman. He's a South Australian now. He's been here too long.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of passionate people out there about this.
Well, you had a crack at me. You whacked me.
Yeah, but you...
No, but you did.
You said
some horrible things to me about my stance on where our great game's going. Well, I love this great game.
Well, you said that it's becoming soft.
I'm being honest, though, Cage. I'm being honest. And I'm seeing things at grassroots and I'm seeing things at the elite level.
Changes.
I'm not saying the players are soft in any... No way. I'm saying... The game itself is becoming a bit all different right. than what we're brought up with.
Yeah, look, I apologise.
No, I don't have to apologise.
No,
but it's,
no,
you know, when
I'm
you
wrong,
get,
I'll apologise.
When you get Michelle ringing about a 9-year-old son that can't tackle, then you've got ex-great saying that take the tackle out.
Yeah, that's...
I can't sit there and not say anything.
That's irresponsible.
That's their opinion. They're giving us an opinion, KG. Well, they're allowed to do that.
No, that's irresponsible.
As we are. But end of the day... It's a concern, and I think Michelle just sparked a bomb inside my head saying, well, my son's going to go to 12-a-side next year, but he's not allowed to tackle when he plays under nines. Mm. And Gleeso's just rang and said he got taught tackling at six years old. So did I.
Mm.
I wasn't a good tackler, but at least I got taught how to take a hit.
You were taught how to punch him in the guts.
Oh, I didn't. I'm not a violent man. I'm a lover. Ask Maz.
Not a very good one.
Ask my wife.
I just did. She said, not very good.
No, she did.
What a gorgeous day. Absolutely gorgeous day in our beautiful city. The Adelaide Oval to our right. We'll be jumping this afternoon, Jars, when Port Adelaide take on Collingwood. But, how good's this weather?
Very good.
It's great to be alive.
Let's talk to their senior assistant coach, a good friend of ours, Matty Nix. G'day, Matty. Welcome to the Dead Set Legends.
Good morning, guys. How you going?
Good, Matty.
Any butterflies, mate? Collingwood Football Club. You don't know, obviously, they've had a couple of good outs with Grundy and Daniel Wells, so you boys need a fast start and just be brutal all day.
Yeah, the butterflies actually come when you have days like this. It's perfect footy weather. So you get a bit excited, don't you, coming into especially a big game against a really quality side in Collingwood. But I wouldn't matter who's in and out. We just really need to come and perform this week. And they've had a few guys out that are bigger names for them, but they'll bring in some quality. Our guys just need to get out there and do what we do, which is something we didn't do last weekend.
Exactly. Gee, Matty, the pressure's there. You're into the finals. You need a lift today from your midfield. That's the key to the game today. If that can reproduce some of the form that they showed for most of the season, that's going to be an enormous plus.
Yeah, that's right, KG. The midfield's where it all starts. Yeah. So it basically puts you in that position of dominance straight away. If we can get the ball out of their forward, then we put the opposition under pressure. And they've got a really high-quality midfield, which is they lose probably their key ruck that they've had in there, but... Cox comes into the ruck, he's a giant of a man, so he's going to give him at least a 50-50 contest in there, in the ruck. So for our guys, our on-ballers, it's, okay, you've had a week of pain.
Yep.
We were really gutted after last weekend's performance. But they've also given us, a good 20 weeks up to that.
Correct.
They've shown us they've been in some really good form. So we'll back them in today that they'll come out and perform well.
Nixie, I like the selection of Deegie Howard. Obviously, he's had some injuries and he's still a young body being a key forward. So I reckon it's going to be a good opportunity to see some support for Dicko now because obviously Westhoff plays that roaming third forward. So Deegie Howard's going to be really important today.
Well, Jarvis, it's interesting because we will look at him there at times, but we'll also look at him down back. We've loved it, some of the stuff he's shown as, a half-backman, not necessarily key back, But yep. the speed that he's got, the way he can shut down options, air assist, you know, with his size, we'll have a look at him there as well throughout the game. So that's the best part with him. He's flexible at what he can play. He's still working on a lot of his craft, but we're excited to see what he can bring today and add to the team.
Matty, was last week, surely that was a hiccup. That's not the Port Adelaide that I know. Was it a breakdown in method, or was it a breakdown in effort, or was it a combination of both?
Well, look, reviewing it in detail,
there was
a lot of method there. Against real quality opposition, and you can't take that away from Adelaide. They were outstanding, and what we found was our group being off 5 or 10% in the contest. We just couldn't catch them. We couldn't get back into the game from that point. You would have seen, if you look back, we want to move on quickly from it, but you look back at it, we were pinned back half the whole first half of the game. You know, we could not get any ascendancy on the game. We were chasing. And it's incredible then, trying to come from behind against a really high-quality side. They don't allow you to do it. So it's in the contest, and it's messed in around the contest. There is a certain amount of a mindset to it as well, that you have to come out and be ready. Adelaide were more than ready. They were physical. I guess they initiated a lot of the contact in there. So our guys will take a lot out of it, learn a lot, and get back to what makes them play well, and that's being physical.
Yeah, gee, Matty, you've got to start well today. I just think that's just so important to get on the front foot early in the game against Collingwood and just take the initiative.
That comes back, KJ, that physicality, doesn't it? Like, get out, show some physicality, show that we're going to be first to the footy, that we're not going to sit back and
correct,
wait and then make tackles or miss tackles. We're actually going to have the footy in our hands. So our guys know that. We trained this week. We had a fantastic week on the track, a really sharp session yesterday. The weather's come out for us. Hopefully we get a really good crowd in there. Off a disappointing game, it'd be great to have as many of our supporters there as we can, because there's no doubt the support helps. You just have a look at Geelong last night.
Yeah, exactly right.
There's all the talk around.
You need 40,000 fans there today, Matty. At least 40,000.
Well, we know Colin would bring a reasonable entourage with him. So, it'd be great to have all of our supporters there to, I guess, make more noise than they do. And then, put them on the back foot straight away.
Yeah, I agree totally.
Good luck today, Matty. Thanks for your time pre-game. So, wish you all the best, buddy.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Good on you, Matty. Matty Nix. He's a good coach, that bloke. Would he be considered for Gold Coast Suns? You'd have to. Have to have him on the list, surely.
Absolutely.
He's a very impressive young man.
No, he's a good boy.
Absolutely. Tell you what, Jars.
Yes,
it's
George.
It's a critical game, this one. Mm. This will test the character of that 22 players.
Word. Yeah, well, their leaders have got to step up.
Well, they've just got to take the initiative from the first bounce and just get on the front foot and go bang and knock them over.
Yeah.
They don't like Colin.
Good, hard, contested footy.
Don't get too rough. Don't get too rough, son.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You said it was soft. Don't get too rough. And, Jars, the big talking point over the last couple of days has been the incident involving Toby Green. Yep. Now, if you missed it, let's replay it for you. Here we go. Gee whiz, that was a tough call, saying that it was a kick.
Was it intentional?
Well, I don't...
That's the question
I
asked.
I looked at it, and he took a high handball.
It received, correct. Yep.
And
his eyes were focused on the footy.
Correct. That's the issue that I looked at.
Yep.
Not at one moment, from my point of view, did Toby Green take his eyes off the ball and of the player. He looked at the ball the whole time.
So he got reported for rough conduct.
Rough conduct.
So they'll look at it. So was that medium contact?
Well,
they'll go through
knows?
It. Was it careless? Was it rough?
Who knows? But
impact to the head. He came off with blood, got stitches, Dalhouse.
That won't help him. Your view? Would you suspend him or what?
Oh, look, on that type of act, no. No, because...
His record is not that flash.
Well, and that's exactly right.
That's going to hurt him.
So, but you don't know what they're thinking, because will they make him as the scapegoat? He's an aggressive young player. He's a talent.
Oh, he's a talent.
But
surely, Jars,
was it intentional? Do you think it was intentional?
I don't think it was. No,
because we've all done it in a game of footy.
Because he's done that sort of thing before.
Yeah, we've all done it. Put our leg out to protect ourselves.
But I would have thought. Here's a chance for the match review panel to use some common sense, which they haven't done all bloody year. Say to young Toby Green, we're going to fine you on this occasion, $2,000, $2,500, and then send a message to the football fraternity that if you come before us again with an incident like this, we're gonna take a stronger.
He was protecting his space,
exactly.
But his space,
correct.
While he was receiving the ball,
and
that's what you know—that's what you get taught. But
there wasn't a kicking accident. He certainly put his foot. That's for everybody to see.
But
Dowhouse was coming at him, which he was able
he's
to
only
do.
A little wee man,
and bang! He unfortunately got him in the mouth.
I think he might get a fine.
I bet he doesn't. Mm, I'll bet you any money you like that they'll suspend him.
Okay.
His record doesn't help him,
and
the fact that Dowhouse bled from the mouth. So there you go. It'll be interesting to see exactly what happens. What an unbelievable performance in the sample yesterday. South Adelaide absolutely smashed the Eagles, who up to that stage had lost only two games for the year, both to Norwood. And South Adelaide came out and went bang, bang, bang. And it was a big win.
83-point win, George.
Yeah, big win for the Panthers as we welcome a nice guy, real nice guy, their head coach, Buddha Hocking. Buddha, welcome to the show.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Buddha. Buddha,
good afternoon now, sorry.
Congratulations, and what a huge win. And now there's still a flicker of hope for South Adelaide to sneak into the finals.
Yeah, no, still a bit of a heartbeat, which is what we spoke about yesterday going into the game, KG, that I just knew from all the training over the last probably 8 to 10 weeks that we still had to improve in a few areas.
Yep.
And the boys have, you know, really shown great commitment, great effort, and none of them ever checked out. So I knew that this sort of performance was around the corner.
Yep.
Yeah, so everything that we planned for and all the players just executed the plan really well, and it was nice to be able to wake up this morning with a bit of a smile.
Yeah, good on you,
Bud. Well,
good
nice photo in today's paper, Bud. You've got that lovely smile of yours there. Now, have you assessed this year so far, Bud, knowing that there is still probably a little bit of a heartbeat left? You know, how do you start planning for next year, or are you just back in what's left of the season to make sure that you may slip into a finals position?
Yeah, we're going really well at the start. We're 5-1, and then we probably, you know, hit a little bit of a speed hump, and probably the last 10 weeks has been, you know, quite disappointing and awkward and tough for the players and the coaches and everybody involved in the club. But, I mean, the road to success, boys, is always sort of under construction. So we just knew, the last probably, 8 to 10 weeks that we just made a commitment to each other that we'd rock up. You know, we'd come to training with a bit of vibe. We train well. You know, we work on our skills because there were the things that was probably letting us down in most of the losses that we had. The effort was certainly there. We just probably shifted the ball in the wrong areas, and the competition just took hold of us and scored off that. And we just probably went into our shells a little bit. So I just tried to remain really confident with the boys, work on the skills, work on a little bit of the outnumbering, which you need to do at this level. And, yesterday sort of, the tree sort of bared some fruit for us, which was great.
Gee, Buddha, it was an amazing game because how were you feeling? The Eagles allegedly booted 4 goals in the first 8 minutes. How were you feeling at that stage?
I was feeling pretty ordinary, KG. I was going to get up and do a Malcolm Blight and walk out of the box and go home and tell Sharpie that it's all over. But this is the third time we've lost the toss at home and we've given up the breeze. So I felt pretty ordinary that Krabby had lost the toss again. So he's not doing it anymore. he's been sacked from tossing the coin. But look, the first 10 minutes, obviously under siege, so we just got the game back on our terms. We put a couple of players back. That sort of helped the plug a few holes. There was 10 holes, 11 holes and 10 fingers. We just couldn't quite, stop the leaks. But, we got control of the game, and then we kicked, 20 goals from probably, halfway or three quarters away through the first quarter, which was very, very pleasing because everybody knows, our fans, our supporters know that we've struggled to score. We've had similar entries to last year, but we just haven't been able to put it on the scoreboard. And scoreboard pressure, I reckon, is one of the biggest things in footy, and we just haven't been able to do that. And, when it rains, it pours. Yesterday was, 20-odd goals, which was fantastic, and 13 goal kickers. So we really shared it, which was really pleasing for everybody.
But a win like that, what does it do for the team, really?
Well, it just says you're on the right track, I think,
and
gives you a bit of confidence, I think. We've got Sturt next week at their ground, so I think everybody's, prepared to sort of put that put that away. Today, you sort of walk around, you get a few texts from people saying, well done. But, I mean, you can't relax on that. We've got, you know, one of the best teams next week, and we just got to keep fighting for a position in the five, and that's what we'll do. We won't look in the rear vision mirror. We'll get on with looking out the front of the window and see what we've got next week.
Good on you, boy.
Well done, Bud. Yeah, congratulations on you, Bud. To you and the players. Kept the faith and keep up the good work. What's your favourite song you want us to play for you, mate? Because you love your Triple M.
Oh, a bit of Sherbet, I reckon, today.
What's your favourite song from Sherbet?
Oh, any Sherbet one is fine, yeah.
All right, we'll see what we can do. Hey, Day, you're in charge, aren't you? You got Sherbet for Bud.
Play a song
the great
for
Geelong. He couldn't catch me.
Well done, Buddha. Play for
boys,
you, mate.
Good on you.
And good luck next week.
Good on you, mate.
Blues.
Thanks very much. See ya.
Good on you, Buddha.
Sherbet.
I'm pleased for Buddha. They lost eight of their last nine games. Yeah. Get up and smash the Eagles.
Done.
That's a great performance.
Done.
And still a flicker to make the final.
Absolutely, George. Can't wait for this next segment.
Oh, Jesus. Piece of cake. This is breeze for me.
This is basically how it works. Jars has a bunch of questions.
Correct.
Fires them at KG live on air.
Mm.
KG can't fence it.
No.
Has to answer and answer truthfully.
Absolutely.
I always do. Easy. Piece of cake.
Really?
Yeah, piece of cake.
Well, we're going to find out how you do with DSL Q&A next.
Is Ken Hinckley safe as senior coach at Port Adelaide?
Most definitely safe. His last 2 years were disappointing. This one he's turned them around and they will play finals. And well done, Kenny Hinckley.
Do you support same-sex marriage?
Yes, I do. Very much so. If someone's in love with somebody, so be it.
Did the AFL shaft Rodney Eade with the Gold Coast job?
No, I don't think they did for one moment. The results weren't what they should have been. I don't like the culture there. When I say I don't like it, I think that's part of the problem up there, the culture. No, I don't think he was shafted. Not at all.
Who's better, Eddie Betts or Tony Modra?
No. Jeez, that's a bloody good question. Eddie Betts.
Who's better, Tony Modra or Eddie Betts?
Well, they're both different. Mods was the exciting mark, big grab. Eddie Betts, the magical goal.
Who's better?
It's a dead eat.
You can't have a dead eat. I need
Tony Modra.
Gee, that wasn't that hard. Will the Crows lose Charlie Cameron to Brisbane?
No. No, no, no. No.
All right.
That'll be a disgrace.
Will Stevie Johnson be dropped for the final series in the GWS football side when they get their players back?
No, you can't drop him. He's announced his retirement. No.
One word to describe Cats Tommy Hawkins.
Well, a deal.
One word.
A deal.
Yeah. Is Toby Green a dirty player and a thug?
No, he's not a thug, but he's got to curb his ways. He's got to be far more careful about the way he conducts himself on the ground. He's a wonderful talent.
Did you fill up your car with petrol and drive off without paying?
No. No, who told you that? I always pay. In fact, I always pay.
Track and field James Gatlin. Is he a better runner than Usain Bolt?
Wouldn't come within a bull's roar of Usain Bolt.
But he knocked him off.
I don't give a stuff. Usain Bolt is up there. Gatlin is down the bottom.
Should Frio pay out Ross Lyon's contract and replace him?
I would.
Okay. Why didn't you pay?
What?
Why didn't you pay for your fish and chips at Australia's number one stun mullet shop down at Henley Beach? You got voted again as the best fish and chip shop around the country.
It's the best gar fish.
Why didn't you pay?
I always pay
Amanda.
You don't. I do. I pay Amanda, and the fish is beautiful, the gar fish. Lovely family.
They won the award again, you know that.
Young Victoria. I love Young Victoria. They
should the Crows fans book grand final tickets?
Yeah, get in. They're over the line.
Are Australians too stingy with money?
Who?
Australians too stingy with money.
Hang on. Australians are the most friendliest people and generous people in the world. That's a ridiculous question. You should know the answer to that.
Is local footy in SA in crisis?
Yes, it is. By the sound of the call we've had this morning, yeah, it's in real trouble.
Would you give up lovemaking for $1 million?
You've got to be doing something before you give it up.
Oh, no.
You've got to be doing something before you give it up.
He's going to give up $1 million for it. Right. Now, have you apologised to Tex Walker for your outlandish comments about him being dropped as captain and to the Sandford competition?
No, I haven't. I haven't bumped into Tex, but I'm not going to ring him. I'll do it eyeball. I've said many times to say that he should have been dropped wasn't the smartest thing I've ever said.
Crows Tommy Lynch.
Yep, Tommy Lynch.
Did you criticise him for him doing this yesterday?
No, we were going to save that for next, Jay.
Oh, shit,
it's not lined up.
You swore then.
Sorry.
Tommy Lynch, I lost half a glass of my Sauvignon Blanc when he missed that goal.
Oh, sorry, Haydo. Hang on. I just got a text message from
there?
No, from our boss, Maddie. Hang on. Maddie, our boss, has just texted me. Oh, no, George.
What have I done now?
Oh, he's just gone. He's just texted. I love this segment.
Oh. I don't like it.
And now, Haydo, did I stuff that last bit up?
No. Because
I have an illness called fatigue syndrome.
But how did Tommy Lynch miss that goal?
Well, we're going to get to that next, KG.
I jumped out of the chair and spilled half me Sauvignon Blanc.
Well, you can't flirt with your form, because if that was a finals game or a grand final, he may have cost us a game.
Oh, now, listen. Don't you start. Don't you dare go down that track. I can remember in 1993.
Oh, don't go there.
I was home sitting on the bed watching Essendon play the Crows in the prelim final. If we win that, we're shoo-in to beat Carlton in the grand final. And I'm sitting there with my late lovely wife, Sam.
Who loved me.
Who loved you. And
do you have your dressing gown on?
Sorry?
Did you have your dressing gown on?
No, I was in my pajamas.
Don't bring this up.
Sam said, Andrew will kick this, love. He'll kick this. I said he couldn't possibly miss from 15 metres out.
I was 25.
And she said, he won't miss this, love. He won't miss it.
Nah.
You go back and have the kick.
Yeah.
And what do? You stuff it up. I remember saying to Sam, block your ears, love, because Andrew Jarman, you're a bloody dickhead.
Don't.
I did.
I don't cope well when people bring that one up.
Well, I cope beautifully with it.
It was going through, and all of a sudden this wind gust came from. Where it came from. 85,000, 90,000.
That moment will stay with me forever.
I don't.
It does.
Don't bring that up.
We go into our first grand final. We play Carlton. We smash them.
What'd you call me again? That's so naughty.
Andrew Jarman, you're a bloody dickhead.
We all miss a goal from time to time.
Not you from 15 metres out.
It was 25.
And
into the breeze.
Having a go at Tommy Lynch. I'm going home now. I'm
Are we done, Haydo?
Well, let's just have a look at the games that are on today, gentlemen, and then we'll let you go.
We can't go yet, George.
Got it. Okay. All right, here we go. Big do or die game for this afternoon at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah. Who are you tipping?
I'm going to tip Port Adelaide. Oh. There's so much on this game for Port. They could not let this game slip for sure. Can't.
Midfield got to step up.
Exactly. That's as we said to Matty Nicks. That's the crux.
And their forward line, Port's forward line, just got to be busy and creative. And
I don't know whether Charlie Dixon needs another high flying forward.
He does, but you need to see how Doogie Howard goes today.
Yep,
so I'm going Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide.
Melbourne v St Kilda.
This would be a good game. This is a critical game for both clubs. Look, I'm going to go for Melbourne. I know their last 2 weeks have been disappointing, but they're a better side than that. St Kilda also can be a bit hot and cold, but I'll go for Melbourne there.
Yeah, I'm going to go Melbourne, George.
I think Richmond yesterday too. Yeah. They let you down.
Hawthorn v Kangaroos in Tasmania.
Well, who really cares, to be honest with you? But look,
they care.
Well, they do care, but I couldn't give a stuff, to be honest with you. I'll go for Hawthorn down in Tassie.
Yeah, I'll go for Hawthorn.
Go for Hawthorn down there. But gee whiz, what a few weeks we've got coming up here on Triple M Footy.
Next Friday night.
Oh.
Well, let's get through today with Port Adelaide and Collingwood.
Yeah.
Just before we go,
yep.
Do you rest a couple of the Crows players just quickly?
That are
a bit sore.
What a ridiculous thing to say.
KG, but they're discussions that they'll have tomorrow in their team meeting, the coaching staff.
No. You just pick your best 22, thank you very much, and just go for it. Don't flirt with form. Just go for it.
Well,
go
we've got a few sore boys.
Well, that's all right. Most players are sore after a game of football. Sloane and Tex will come up. There's no problems there. Just continue to work and work, and you know that because you're a coach, not a very good one, but you're a coach.
Another slap.
And that's exactly what you've got to do.
No, absolutely. You've got to pick your best side.
Of course you do.
That's available.
No question about
that's available.
But I tell you what, it is going to be an intriguing final series because, as we've seen throughout the year, it's been up and down, Jars. Anybody on any given day can beat anybody in the competition, and that's the glorious part of the comp. But look, as I said at the start of the program, this has got to be the year of the Crow.
The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the 1 hour express service.
Triple M.